Hey, fantasy managers, welcome back to another episode of the First Pitch Podcast on the Pitcherless Network. My name is Carson Picard, and I'll be your host for this weekend edition of the pod. No beating around the bush. Let's get into everything baseball related from Thursday, April 23rd. We will start, as always, with the breaking news and transactions and everything here, which in this case is going to be a solid deal of injuries. Francisco Lindor is probably the headliner here. 10-day IL with a left calf strain as he was rounding the bases the other day. He is going to be out probably an extended period of time. No exact word on the timetable for him, but expect it more to be more than a couple weeks. Michael Harris, the second, removed with left hamstring tightness from today's game. His status is questionable at the moment. Robert Garcia, 15-day IL with a left rotator cuff strain, which is very concerning, certainly. Caleb Thielbar was removed today with left hamstring tightness. So his spot in the Cubs bullpen is up in the air at the moment and when he comes back. And finally, Dean Kramer with a 15-day IL stint with the right quad strain. So a variety of injuries here and some pitching, some just removed. We'll get updates for you, of course, as everything comes out. Some positive news, though, at the tail end of this news segment is going to be Gerrit Cole made a second rehab start today. He is slowly coming back, folks. And the Cy Young winner from a couple of years ago, likely to join the Yankees rotation, you know, any coming week here. So with that out of the way, we now move into a surprisingly decent slot of games here on this past Thursday. Usually we only have a couple. Today we had nine, and we'll get going with our notable performances, our top hitter and our top hitter of the day, which we're going to say is Mickey Moniak. He is off to a sensational start, hitting well over 300 for Colorado. And today he went yard twice against Matt Waldron and the San Diego Padres in what was a typical Coors slugfest. He went 4-for-5 with 2 home runs. Moniak has just been absolutely fantastic for the Rockies ever since coming over. And for a guy that's been in the league bouncing around for the better part of half a decade, it seems like he may have finally found a home. So I think he's definitely worth rostering in your leagues, just if nothing else, and keep the hot streak going while it's, you know, while you can. But we move on here to get to the other notable performances from throughout the day. Bo Bichette went 3-for-5 with the double. Bichette, to the dismay of Mets fans, has not been fantastic so far. He had a huge double late in this one that allowed the Mets to get their second win in as many days. Bo Bichette went 3-for-5 today. Austin Martin from the Minnesota Twins went 3-for-4 with a walk. Quietly been one of the most productive hitters in baseball. He is at a 347 average right now. OPS just shy of 1,000. Not necessarily from the slugging, but his walk rate is near 20. He's probably a very nice, at least a spec ad in on-base percentage. And frankly, average leagues, which is really encouraging for someone who's been bouncing around a little bit in AAA to major league bench rotations. Moving on, Corey Seager went 2-for-4 with a home run. Seager, someone who was likely taken pretty high in all of your drafts, has struggled so far this year, batting average around the Mendoza line. It's nice to see him show his pop. Jazz Chisholm today hit one of the funniest home runs you're ever going to see, and you should definitely go watch it. It's a Fenway special. It's a Fenway special, but Chisholm hit home run today. Kyle Tucker went 2-for-4. Colson Montgomery 3-for-4 today for the White Sox. Xander Bogaerts went 2-for-3 with 2 home runs, two walks and a home run in the aforementioned Padres and Rockies game. Brandon Marsh in a bizarre Wrigley game with Phillies and the Cubs. Brandon Marsh went 3-for-4 with a walk and a home run, and all of Michael Bush, Seiya Suzuki, and Ian Happ hit a home run today against Phillies pitching. And Carson Kelly went 3-for-4 as the Cubs take down the Phillies in 10 in just a really bizarre game that we'll talk about a little bit more later. Riley Green hit a home run for the Detroit Tigers today. And James Wood, off J.R. Richie's first ever MLB pitch, decided to take him yard to deep right field. And James, you know, welcome to the show, kid. James Wood goes yard. CJ Abrams also goes yard as the Nationals do fall to the Atlanta Braves, who just absolutely smoked Nationals pitching today. 3 hit days for Matt Olson, Michael Harris II, and Ozzie Albies. That's going to do it for the notable performances here in the hitting section. We now move on to the starters. It was an ace Thursday. A lot of top pitchers out here today. We will talk about most of them, but we will start with our pitcher of the day, who is going to be Peyton Tolley, who just went absolutely off against the New York Yankees at Fenway Park. Six innings, one earned run, which is the aforementioned bogus Jazz Chisholm home run. Three hits, 11 strikeouts on six frames tossed. 11 of the 18 outs were recorded via the punch out. Just one walk, 93 pitches. He was fantastic. 18 whips, 40 CSW percent. He was fantastic. The locations were a little questionable at times, but the command overall seemed to be fine, and the stuff was spoke for itself. Just a really show-stopping performance from Tolley, who so far is been really hyped up to join the Red Sox rotation, and it is unfortunate they blew this one and they weren't able to get it done on the offensive side of the ball, but maybe a much-needed boost for a struggling Red Sox team. Jacob deGrom, we will move on to the rest of our pitchers and the notable performances. Jacob deGrom, like I said, a lot of great performances, a lot of great pitchers on the mounds today. 5 2/3 innings pitched, one earned run, five hits, 10 Ks, one walk on 89 pitches, 21 whiffs for deGrom. He just went absolutely ballistic, 38 CSW percent. Jacob deGrom, I've said it before, his slider is one of the best pitches in the history of baseball. I mean, it is just absolutely stupendous. It was on tonight, and he's been a little interesting in terms of struggling to be able to get super deep into games. He's generally kind of sputtered out around the sixth inning or fifth inning, maybe. But certainly, I think on a rate basis, DeGrom has been fantastic, and he's getting enough volume to get wins if the quality starts and maybe not necessarily come. They've also been fairly conservative about when they pull him. And, so on a rate basis, DeGrom's been fantastic. We'd love to see him go a little bit more, but frankly, what can you say about the stat line other than he is just absolutely stupendous? Who did not have a stupendous outing was Christian Scott. Anyone that knows me knows how much I love Christian Scott, and he was abysmal today. 1 1/3 innings pitched, got just four outs and spent five walks in order to do it. Just one strikeout, an earned run. He walked in a batter in the first and could have been so much worse. The Twins were unable to capitalize on a bases loaded scenario. The stuff looked good. The fastball was up a bit in velocity, and sometimes he struggled to get whiffs. He wasn't really, he was able to get a punch out, was able to, when he threw in the zone, be effective, but just completely lost control. Hopefully this is a lapse in control rather than just losing control, or a loss of control rather, but a very poor outing for Christian Scott. We'll see if he makes a second for the Mets soon. Cam Schlittler went eight innings against the Red Sox and one earned run. And one of the reasons Tolley isn't picking up a win today is because of Schlittler's efforts. One earned run, four hits, one walk, five Ks, 96 pitches. It wasn't necessarily the most dominant outing in terms of whiffs and strikeouts and all that jazz, but he was excellent yet again, proving himself to be one of the premier pitchers in Major League Baseball. Tyler Glasnow also went very deep in his start. Eight scoreless frames, one hit, nine Ks, one walk on 105 pitches. Great to see any pitcher going that deep and doing it with authority. If it wasn't for Tolley's outing, he probably would have been the pitcher of the day, and Nick may very well have him on the roundup. But this was a fantastic outing for Glasnow. Really has been excellent to start the year. And there were questions, I think, about Glasnow moving into this year and what he's going to be like with seemingly diminished stuff from years past. Looking fantastic so far to start the year. He dueled Logan Webb, who went seven innings, three earned runs, seven hits, five Ks, two walks on 98 pitches. This is a very classic Logan Webb outing, getting you a quality start and maybe a slightly bordering on a poor quality start at that. Maybe not great for your whip and everything. But then again, this is against the Los Angeles Dodgers. I think overall, if you're a web owner, you're pretty encouraged by this. Against a weaker lineup, this may be one-run frames. So Logan Webb, I think, maybe looking like he's getting back on track to where you'd expect him to be. Michael Soroka, five innings pitched, one earned run, seven hits, six Ks, a walk on 101 pitches. It's nice to see guys get a really long leash, even if they are not very efficient with their outings. but 13 whiffs, 25 CSW percent. Christopher Sanchez. This is that weird Phillies-Cubs game from earlier. 5 1/3 innings pitched, 6 earned runs off 12 hits. Sanchez is not a guy that has a terrible high whip, but even so, I mean, this is a whip over 2, right? 12 hits, 4 Ks, 2 blocks on 99 pitches. He tried. He really did, and just nothing seemed to click for them. The Cubs, as mentioned earlier, were able to get all over Sanchez. Carson Kelly had a 3-hit game, and a few players went yard. 14 whiffs, 33 CSW percent. I think there's some encouraging signs. The stuff wasn't any worse. Just kind of one of those days. So a rough outing from Sanchez, although I don't think it should be discouraging for any owners. Tarek Skubal, also a bit of a weird outing. 6 innings pitched, 4 earned runs, 7 hits, 5 Ks, no walks, 94 pitches. Just not necessarily the line we're expected to see from Skubal. This is probably like a 20 or 15th percentile outing for Skubal, which just shows how excellent he is. He was knocked around a bit in the 7th inning. They ended up putting up a 3 spot, the Brewers did, against the Tigers. Baseball, sometimes stuff happens and an ace gets knocked around a little bit. That's what happened here. Still 14 whiffs, 29 CSW percent. It's Tarek Skubal. He's a 2-time Cy Young winner. You're not concerned, truly, but a iffy outing from one of the league's premier pitchers. And finally, we'll wrap up this segment with J.R. Richie, who made his MLB debut today. Congratulations to him. 7 innings. He allowed the one aforementioned home run to James Wood on his first pitch. The next 88 pitches were really good. Total line, 7 innings pitched, 2 earned runs, 5 hits, 10 Ks on 89 pitches. What's really interesting to me looking at this, first of all, he faced almost exclusively lefties. And second, he relied very heavily on his curveball. In fact, it was his most used pitch. He only threw 39% fastballs, which I found very peculiar. So someone that definitely, and it seemed to have worked for him, very much relying on off-speed and breaking stuff. Will that change if he faces more righty-heavy lineups? We'll see. But overall, J.R. Richie, I think absolutely very encouraging signs for him. The stuff graded out quite well. And nice to see someone make their MLB debut and do quite well. So that's going to wrap up the recaps for Thursday. Give the Plus Pitch podcast a listen and check out Daily SP Roundup written by Nick Polak. You already probably read it, but if you want more information about all these guys, go do that. And check out the Daily Batters Box articles as well if you want to find out more about all the hitting performances from today. I will take a break, and then we will talk about the bullpens and look forward to today's slate of games. So, see you in a bit. All right, folks. Welcome back to the First Pitch Podcast. We are now going to move on to talking about our lovely relievers and then go into the slate of games for today and give you some brief previews. First, we'll look at who collected the saves for today, and maybe the most notable one here is the one who collected his first save. Tanner Scott got the ball for the Los Angeles Dodgers, pitched a nice inning for them, gets his first save of the year as he looks to be the closer for the Dodgers now that Edwin Diaz is going to miss 3 months. So Tanner Scott, there was some question marks about who would be the closer for the Dodgers. And it seems to be Tanner Scott who threw one scoreless hitless inning. And so Dodgers fans, there may be your answer. Who, by the way, Tanner Scott, nice start to his year, ERA sub-1. Hopefully by the time you listen to this, it hasn't exploded. David Bednar, 7 saves on the year for him. He picks up his 7th today against the Red Sox. Sir Anthony Dominguez picks up his 5th. It's been a very up and down year for Dominguez, but he got a gift with a save opportunity today after the White Sox were able to rally in the 9th inning to break a tie. And he, we'll talk about that in a little bit. Mason Miller picks up his 9th save of the year. He was hit and did not have any strikeouts, but Mason Miller also did not have any runs. His streak of scoreless outings, I forget what it extends to. It's just something absolutely ridiculous, but he picks up his 9th save of the year, just continuing to be extremely impressive. It was a fairly light saves day, so out of the 9 or 10 games that were today, only 4 relievers recorded saves, but plenty of them blew opportunities, and we'll get into that right now, starting with Victor Vodnik. Not technically a blown save. Actually, hold on. Let me double check that I am right. Yep, I'm wrong. Victor Vodnik, blown save, and a catastrophic one at that. two-thirds, got two outs and spent five earned runs in order to do it. Came in the top of the ninth inning with a chance to shut down the Rockies. The Rockies ended up putting a five spot to take the lead 10-8, a lead which they would not relinquish off the back of Mason Miller. Vondnik had a pretty nice start to the year. His ERA has now gone through the roof, and the closer role for the Rockies, you know, who knows what it's going to be. Paul Sewald got two outs and spent three runs in order to do it, allowing the White Sox to take the lead in the top of the ninth as well. They would end up getting that closed out by Sir Anthony Dominguez to win 4-1. Sewald has been used a lot by the Diamondbacks, getting a lot of save opportunities. This is a pretty rough one. Wouldn't have been a save opportunity regardless, but ERA around 4.5, and the Diamondbacks bullpen continues to have issues. Danny Kulumbe moving on here. Danny Kulumbe made a poor outing for the Red Sox today, got through just two outs, spent three runs in order to do it, giving the Yankees a lead they would not relinquish, which really sucks for Peyton Tolley, as he had such an excellent outing, as we talked about earlier in the show. But certainly a poor outing there as they gave the Yankees the lead. Craig Kimbrell made a poor outing for the Mets today. It's crazy to me that Craig Kimbrell is still in Major League Baseball, but yes, he is. He's pitching for the New York Mets for trivia purposes. There you go. And he had a poor outing, got through just two outs, three earned runs of his own. Although I want to talk about this a little bit more. The Mets had one of the weirdest bullpen situations I've seen in a while. First of all, Christian Scott, like we talked about, got through just four outs. So they had a long way to go after that, which was done by Dave Myers and Dave Pearson. But Kimbrell comes in, allows three earned runs, or gets put on for three earned runs. Brazelbon comes in, ends up getting the blown save. And then in the ninth inning, Williams is supposed to come out, but Brazelbon goes, and then he crosses the foul line, so he has to pitch. And so he goes through one batter, and then Williams comes on and does end up actually doing it. But I just thought, like, good Lord, Mets, can we do the most basic thing of have the closer come out in the ninth inning? Williams barely got away with it, too. He had runners on second and third and was able to get the final out. So maybe it's a nice thing Brazelbon pitched. But moving on from the Mets weirdness, which, you know, we're only going to move on for the day. It's going to come up again. It's the Mets. Angel Zerpa has a blown save today, and then Spencer Torkelson walks off Abner Uribe. Uribe's had quietly a pretty rough start to the year, as has pretty much the entire bullpen for the Brewers. It's been not great for them, between Miguel having a terrible start to the year and now Uribe and Zerpa, and so who knows? I mean, the closer position is just kind of in tatters for the Brewers. But that's going to do it for the relievers. Make sure you check out Rick Graham's weekly articles. And now let's move on to the full slate of games. We will start with the top three pitching matchups I have for today. It's going to be, number one, the Philadelphia Phillies at the Atlanta Braves. It's going to be Andrew Painter versus Grant Holmes. This is going to be a really fun matchup just to see one of the top pitching prospects in Painter versus Holmes, who has had a pretty nice but erratic start to the year. And of course, a lot of talent on both sides. Philadelphia looking to snap a 9-game losing streak. Can they do it against one of the hottest teams in baseball in the Braves? Minnesota is going to travel to Tampa to face the Rays. The one of the most exciting pitchers, I think, in baseball, we can say, Taj Bradley this year. He's been fantastic. He will face Drew Rasmussen. And then the New York Yankees will be at Houston with Will Warren versus Lance McCullers Jr. All three of those matchups, I think, are extremely interesting. Great pitchers, or at least interesting pitchers on both sides. But my game of the day for sure is going to be the Pittsburgh Pirates at the Milwaukee Brewers. Paul Skenes going to take the mound against Brandon Woodruff. I mean, Woodruff is not the power pitcher that he was several years ago, but he's still a master of his craft. And Paul Skenes is maybe one of the most exceptionally brilliant pitchers we've seen in a while. He's had a shaky start to the year, but he's looking to put the Pirates on their back for a team that's really starting to put things together. The Pirates are. So that's going to be my game of the day. And that is going to be the First Pitch podcast for today. For a deeper dive on everything baseball, hop on to pitcherlist.com for further access sign up for PL Plus or PL Pro to gain access to the Discord, POV apps, and to support the Pitcherless staff. And finally, my name is Carson Picard. You can find me on the Shallows podcast with my great co-host Eric Henriksen, as well as on Blue Sky at Carson Picard. And with that, thank you very much for listening. Good luck with the rest of your weeks. Bless the knees, bless the elbows, and take care, y'all.